This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. With me, David Badil.
Hello, and me, Tim Hinks.
Still not right. If anything, that should be it. And me, Tim Hinks. Hello.
I'll tell you something, I've never had more time to practice that and it's still not working.
I mean, obviously, you say hello after you've introduced yourself. Don't you?
What our 3 or 4 listeners won't realise is that at the start of this podcast, Bella, our producer, says we have to clap to sync up the audio, and it doesn't really work when we do that. And I think that gets us off on there seems to be a delay, and that just gets us off on the wrong foot. And I think I was thrown by that.
Yes. So, listeners, perhaps we should also explain, although we sort of, this is obvious, but we're not in the same room, obviously. I am in my house and Tim is in his house. So it's, what would you say, about 12 miles away in London? 7 miles
Isn't
away?
It? Yeah, 6 or 7.
Well, look, tell you what, let's be honest about being middle class and fairly privileged. I'm living in Hampstead. I'm here in Hampstead. You're in Kew.
In Kew, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, well, we haven't seen an avocado for weeks.
Right. So my point is, you're not in Libya, you're not in the moon, and yet there appears to be a video delay. How could that be?
Right. Well, we're finding this all the time, aren't we? It's not really about distance, is it? Does it matter that if you are talking to someone on the moon, is it more likely to be a delay than for example, within London? Does that follow?
I know
it's a long way.
I've always assumed it. I did a sketch many years ago. Since I've seen it done many times since, I'm still going to claim that we were the first people to do it. Me and Rob Newman did a sketch in which a newsreader was interviewing Saddam Hussein, and there was like a 20-second delay between everything that Saddam Hussein said in answering. Right. Now, if there'd been a dictator in the Isle of Man, I don't think that sketch would have worked as well, because I think people wouldn't have believed there was a delay of 20 seconds, even back in the 90s, for the dictator on the Isle of Man.
But I think I'm not disputing anything, but I'm certainly not disputing that people think that. And I think that if you said, look, it's a long story, but basically I'm going to be on the moon for the next podcast.
Yeah.
I'd be thinking, Bella, do you think will there be a massive delay?
Yeah.
So I do get, but I wonder if it's true that necessarily follows.
I don't know if it does, given that the actual travelling of whatever it is that travels, what do you think it is?
Soundwave.
No, it's not soundwave. If it was sound waves and it was the moon, there'd be a fucking mental delay.
Can't hear you, David.
It's not.
Shout a bit louder.
It's really not sound waves. It's electric stuff. It's electric information.
I see what you mean. The digital.
It's travelling.
I don't even have.
Even though it is sound, it's not travelling at the speed of sound. When I speak to you now, even though there is a delay, it's not travelling at the speed of sound. If I was shouting, right, and you could somehow hear me, right, I know this doesn't quite make sense, but bear with it.
Yeah.
From here, it would take, I don't know the physics exactly, but I reckon it would take about 40 seconds for my voice to get to you in queue, I'm guessing.
Yeah, if you could be heard, because it travels at, what is the speed of sound?
It's not that fast.
It's about 30 or... 30 or 40 miles an hour?
It's not, I think. Is it about 800 miles an hour? Something like that?
I don't think it's that. I think it feels like it's thousands.
Is it? Oh, God, we're going to have to check this now. So this just means doing something
It can't be 800 or 100. Well, I don't know. I suppose you'd...
Well, hang on. What broke the speed of sound? Was that Concorde? Right, it's...
Yeah. That's okay. True, actually. It's a good point.
So it's...
So it's 700
okay, it's 1,225 kilometres an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I was right. 761 miles an hour.
Yeah.
343 metres a second. Right, so there you have it. So how many metres would you say away from you?
Well, I think I'm about nine kilometres from you.
Okay.
That's 9,000 metres.
Can we do the maths on that?
9,000 metres.
Well, let's say it's 300 metres a second. That makes it easier.
Okay.
Not much easier.
That's. I think it's 30 seconds to get...
It would take 30 seconds, right. If you could imagine that rather than it being obviously a sound that dies out when it hits the air, unlike COVID-19, you imagine that my voice
it's
is a little...
It's good, your topical stuff.
Yeah, is a little package that comes out of my mouth, right?
Yeah.
And travels at the speed of sound to you.
Yeah.
There'd be a 30-second delay, yeah?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, exactly.
So clearly, what you're hearing now is not travelling to you at the speed of sound. It's travelling to you
faster.
At the speed of electricity, which is pretty
fast. How fast is electricity?
Speed of light. Electricity travels at the speed of light. Well, in a vacuum, it does. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Q's a bit more. I know Q's a bit boring, but it's not quite that.
So the point being that there would probably be a delay to the moon. If it's travelling at the speed of light, it'd be pretty imperceptible. But I think, I think light from here to the moon, you possibly could just about make it out that there's a delay.
There's three things I want to bring up in relation to this, of which would not be brought up.
Because I was thinking of ending this subject now.
Well, not necessarily going further, but without Brian Cox, I think it's more interesting because I think the answers to these things are not that interesting when all said and done. But one is. I often look at the star, talking about far away, I look at the stars, which are sort of billions of light years, light years away, and think that if someone had had the foresight to put a mirror on the star, would you see a reflection? For some reason, in my mind, I always think you'd see a reflection of Henry VIII.
Right.
But do you see what I mean?
No,
I think
a version of that, but keep going, yeah.
So would that work? Is this... Second thing is, if you think about... having a fire, as if you've got an open fire in your house, or it doesn't really matter if it's open, but a fire in your,
I've got a gas fire. Not like an old 1960s gas fire that you see in A Taste of Honey. Not like that.
Right.
It's a sort of modern gas fire that actually looks a bit like a fire.
Okay, because the old gas fires, like they have in Al's Clip Joint in Kew, where they think I'm a cyclist. That's what they have in there.
Yeah.
But I know
Al's Clip Joint, for anyone who doesn't remember, is a hairdresser that you... go into to have your hair cut, even though you don't have any hair. It's not, I should stress, a strip place, because that's what it used to be called as well. Soho clip joints in Soho, that used to be a middle-aged person's way of describing a strip club, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Unless they've really sorted out, and every time I come in, they do this incredible impression of being a barber.
Yeah.
So if you have a fire in your house and you sit close to it, it's significantly warmer, isn't it? And if you sit sort of, let's say, at the back of the room or even if you walk to the kitchen, say, you'd suddenly think, oh, I can't wait to be back by the fire. Right?
Yeah. I mean, your physics is shit hot here. Yeah. Further away you get, less warm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's genuinely incredible, isn't it, how hot the sun is?
Yes, I do often think about that. And how... Yeah, and at what point, how close could you get to it before it would really be too hot? And you'd have to say, I like a nice hot fire and I like sunbathing, but, this is ridiculous. I'm going to have to go further away from the fire.
Yeah. So the sun is very hot, we've established.
You've established that. What's the other thing we established? Oh, yeah, that if you put a mirror on a star, you'd see Henry VIII. Yeah. Would you see Henry VIII?
Well,
I know what you mean.
Would you see dinosaurs?
Well, possibly dinosaurs. the point is that the light you see from the stars is the light from them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the light from us.
A long time ago.
Yeah, some of those stars aren't even there.
They're, yeah, right.
You just see the light from them. So where would the mirror be?
Mirror would be on them. On the star.
So you go to Alpha Centauri.
Right.
And somehow you get there now, even though you couldn't get there for light years. Let's imagine you could go there now.
Yeah.
Bang, instantaneously, you...
Yeah.
It's probably quite hot there, I'm thinking, because they're stars as well. Unless they're not
there.
They're
suns, yeah.
Unless they're not there.
In which case, fingers crossed, it wouldn't be there.
Well, if it wouldn't be there, where would you put the mirror?
Well, just where your star used to be. It would be floating about in space,
or it would be held there by the gravitational pull of the black hole left by the star.
Yeah, so I think you'd have to establish
what you're saying
star
is,
existed.
What you're saying is that the reflection of the light from the Earth to the star, coming back at you, would show Henry VIII.
Yeah.
I don't think Earth gives off enough light to do that.
But I can see the star at night. I can see one tonight. Yeah. I can see it glowing or whatever it's doing.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't it be the case that if there was a massive mirror, it'd need to be at least five times the size of the star.
Right. Would it?
Well, just because you wouldn't pick it up, I don't think you'd see Henry very clearly.
You'd see loads of other people if it was five times the size of the star.
I like the idea that
it'd be like, where's Wally? I don't think you'd see, which is an unbelievably 70s reference.
Also, I realise my history is like a sort of kid's book. I'd see dinosaurs or Henry VIII.
Yeah. It's like the cover of a nursery history book with various things set out in it. But what it would have to be, let's be very clear about this, because before you go and do it, is it would be the light from the sun hitting Henry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then bouncing off Henry, who was quite a big bloke, so it might bounce off him quite well.
Yes.
And then going up to Alpha Centauri, hitting your mirror that you've put there, coming back, and by the time it's done all that, you can see it.
Yeah, right.
That's what you're saying. Yeah. I can't believe no one's done that.
Well, I certainly tried it. I often think about that, and I'd be interesting to know from our listeners if they've done it, or in which case, where should we be looking?
Yeah, or what's the best way of going about it?
I want to do it.
In theory, could that happen? Let's put that out there.
Could it happen?
Yeah. I believe there was a third physics quadrant.
Yeah, the third thing is less of a physics thing, if I'm honest, but it's just sort of interested in...
Yeah.
When was the telephone invented?
It was invented by Alexander Graham Bell. Why are you saying this? It was the mid-19th century. Mid-19th century, was it?
Yeah, and I suppose they started to become, household, sort of in the 1930s, 40s, did they? Well, for posh people.
I think earlier than that. I think the first household telephones were around before the First World War. But, I mean, yes, only for posh people.
Okay. Well, I suppose all I wanted to ask, and by the way, you don't know the answer, so...
No. That hasn't stopped me so far.
Have a go at this. How long from the date that they were put in houses, which I know is sort of slightly, they weren't all put in on the same day.
No.
But how long before
people... I blame BT, they're rubbish.
How long before people stopped saying, we're up, bloody hell, you're not in the same room as me and we're talking and that's great, just getting on with it.
Right. How long before people just thought of the telephone as, this is just like nothing, we're just talking.
This is just...
It's not a miracle. Yeah. It's not a miracle anymore.
It's not a miracle. It's not something
A good question. Like, the first film ever, not ever, but one of the first public films ever, you'll know this, being a man who works in showbiz,
Was it Jurassic Park or Speed?
Speed, apparently, if you put a mirror up on a star, it's actually Speed. No, it was that film of a train arriving, wasn't it? And people... I mean, the urban myth, but I think it's true. People watching that ran away because they thought, oh, my God, there's a train arriving. Yeah. I mean, it's odd that they didn't think... Slightly weird thing about this train. I mean, I don't know if I should take the chance and not run away, but a slightly weird thing is it's in black and white. When I see trains normally, they're in colour. I mean,
as is the countryside.
Yeah, unless they were colourblind people all in that cinema, which I don't think they were. So... It's odd that they just thought, oh, my God, there's a train. And did something, wait a minute, there's something about this train that makes you think it's not a train.
I'll tell you what's really hard, for example, is not to... If you put your face against a window and someone throws a tennis ball at the other side...
Yeah.
Not blinking then as a reaction, even though you know it's not going to hit you, is impossible, right?
Yes, but it is totally possible now. This comes back to your point about the phone, that if a train appeared in front of you on a screen and was shot from the point of view of the tracks, you wouldn't start running away. You wouldn't even flinch, I think, on a TV screen.
No, it's an extreme.
Whereas you probably would from a tennis ball thrown at you behind a window. Having said that, and I've mentioned this a few times, and I still haven't seen any free stuff from them, if you have an Oculus VR, if you have a virtual reality thing, and you do something like, you know, for example, the other day, I went, and it's a very good thing to do in lockdown, I went to the statue of Jesus on the mountain in Rio. I went there.
Right, I'm with you.
I went there on my Oculus and brilliantly filmed by, in I think 12K, by this thing called Air Pano. And it's a drone shot of Jesus on that mountain. And it is almost impossible not to feel with VR. Oh my God, I'm on top of this mountain with Jesus. I'm frightened. You know, I mean, you do get used to that eventually, but your first reaction, and my first reaction still, if I put it on for another journey, is to be a bit taken aback
You get vertigo.
Yeah, you get vertigo. You can feel your stomach slightly go.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You can feel a bit sick.
But it's interesting, another question in this science podcast.
We haven't answered the question, when was the first moment? Because it would have been an interesting moment, right?
The first what?
Just in terms of your question, what I think I'm interested in with your question about the phone is that first person, let's say 18 months after the first phones appeared in households, phoned someone and went, hello, are you coming out tonight? And carried on talking. Did the other person eventually say, I can't believe you haven't said, isn't this amazing?
Yeah,
you
know, right.
We always say that. We always say how amazing it is that I could talk to you.
Yeah.
Did they? That probably went on for a bit. Was people saying, I can't believe you haven't said, this is amazing.
And then I think it might go quiet for a few weeks and then they start saying it again. Just like, it's still incredible. Yeah. You still have to pinch yourself that you're not in the same room.
Yeah. Or even the same house.
In the same or even the same country. I mean, I suppose I actually probably say it now every now and again.
Yeah, well, country, I think.
Phoning someone in Australia.
Yeah, every so often.
You probably.
Yeah, I think it's quite an old person thing to do, but every so often, if I'm phoning someone in America or whatever, I still have a slight sense of, isn't this amazing?
Yeah.
Particularly on a mobile, I find. Like somehow I've accepted it on a landline, but feel it's slightly more incredible on a mobile. That I could be.
Why is that?
Well, so the idea that I could be on a bus, not now at the moment, obviously, but on a bus or just walking about outside, and I could phone my brother who lives in New York, seems to be slightly more incredible than the idea that I'm on a landline. I mean, can I ask you this? On a landline, is my voice actually going on wires underneath the ocean to my brother in New York? Because I don't actually know.
By the way, there's
a person who this podcast is meant to be about, and I think if we keep going, this might be the first time we've not mentioned him at all.
I also think it's worth pointing out to listeners, just in case, your question. These questions will not be answered in the next podcast either. It's not like they're never going to answer them. But does your voice go under the sea rather than beamed up to space? Is that what you mean?
That might be why I think it's more incredible on a mobile, because I think in my mind's eye...
And you can picture it.
Well, I don't know if it's correct, but in my mind's eye, when I'm on the landline, there's a cable that takes my voice, it goes all the way under the Atlantic Ocean, and it comes up at my brother's slightly horrible apartment in Brooklyn.
Right.
And that seems to me to be sort of less miraculous than it going up.
But I don't think I could go to the bottom of the Atlantic. That's after travelling to the stars. This is probably quite easy comparatively to go under the Atlantic and adjust to the pressure. So I'll go down quite slowly. Get to the rock bed.
Yeah.
Or drill down to probably a metal detector, so it'll find out where the wire is, so I'll be quite accurate.
Yeah.
I drill down through the rock, I find the wire.
Right.
I snip it.
Why are you doing this? You're trying to ruin my chat with my brother.
No, well, I think I don't think this would happen. Everything I've said would happen. I'll definitely dive down, definitely do that. I'll do that just because I'm interested to know the answer. Then I snip the wire. And then I hear, hello, it's David here.
Right.
Oh, how's New York? And then it's gone. That doesn't happen, does it? It's not your voice.
Well, it's certainly not my voice. It doesn't sound anything like me. Terrible. What it was like in the 70s and possibly early 80s, when people wanted to do a sort of slightly pedo anoraki person, it was always the same voice.
Yes.
Hello, it's me.
Yes.
And people would think that was hilarious. In the 70s, in a sketch, if you wanted to get laughs, you basically put on an anorak, had a moustache, stood near either some school children or making notes at a railway station and went, hello, I shouldn't be here, should I? Or whatever. And you spoke like that, and that was the voice
that's
you just...
That's pretty funny.
Thanks. That's the voice you just used for me. By the way, just before we go, because we might pick up after this, but this whole podcast, I should say, Tim's been in what I kind of assume might be his bedroom or maybe the spare room, I'm not sure.
It's a spare room, yeah.
Okay, so on one side of him is a guitar, which is great. Great, you're a musical guy. The other half, is it pyjama trousers on the other side
of him? Well, firstly, did you just say, like, some DJ, great, you're a musical guy?
I said it ironically.
Okay. These are... pyjama. I mean, they are actually mine, although I've not been wearing them. I don't know why they're out. They're pyjama bottoms, Ralph Lauren pyjama bottoms.
Right. Okay.
Quite nice.
Quite nice.
I haven't worn them. It's hot at the moment. I wouldn't wear pyjamas, would I? Would I?
I don't know.
Would you wear pyjamas?
The fact that they're out is slightly bothering me.
Yeah, I don't know why they're out. The guitar's out because I wanted to do an experiment. I've got the guitar because, like everyone, I'm getting involved in lots of quizzes.
Right.
And I'm setting a quiz with my brother Rob and a couple of old friends. And I'm doing the rounds. And I'm going to do one round, which is name the intro. And I'm going to do it on my guitar.
Right.
And see if they can guess the songs. At song and artist.
Right.
Would you like to...
You want to try out on me?
Yeah. Would you like to trial run? I think you're going to get every single one.
Okay. Well, I think one thing you should remember is I know loads of stuff about music,
right,
but I can't remember most of it
anymore. Well, let's see.
Like, my powers of recall are so shit now.
I'll do three or four of them, and I'll try and stick to what I think might be.
Can I just say, if one of them is by the person this podcast is meant to be about, you'll have fucked up the record with the record we're trying to set of not mentioning his name.
Well, the funny thing is, none of them are. And I noted that when I did...
Great news.
I don't know. So, here's number one, all right?
Yeah. Should I stay or should I go by the Clash?
Yeah, okay, good. Your concentration was extraordinary because... worried you're not going
to... I am worried. This is going to show off my cognitive decline.
Okay.
I'm more worried about that as an intro... Sorry, can I just say, because I feel me just doing this by itself is perhaps not enough. We need to provide insight and whatever. So my insight...
Go on then.
My slightly bleak insight is that 10 years ago, all I'd be worried about is not showing enough musical nous in this quiz. Now I'm worried about cognitive decline. I'm worried that I'll basically not have the memory capacity to know songs that I do know. You see what I mean? Like for a second there.
Well,
I mean, that definitely also, that took me 4 seconds longer to get than it should have done. That's why I look like I'm concentrating.
I'm playing them on an acoustic guitar, probably not very faithfully. So there's an added layer.
Okay.
Of complication, isn't there? Because they're not going to be remotely.
I like the fact. I think here. That I mean, can I just say I did get it. Slightly ruining you going dring, dring, dring at the end of that, didn't it? You were really looking forward to doing that.
I don't think it's about me.
Well.
But I was quite looking forward to that. Yeah.
I mean, you could just do that if you want.
I'm going to do something more tricky, which is attempt the beginning of this intro, and this I could easily fuck up.
All right, okay.
You may spot it. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm already feeling like I'm going to fuck
it up. There's a lot of pressure.
Oh, my God. I went there and used. Right, you ready?
Well, that. This Charming Man.
Yes.
It's This Charming Man. Now, that, I have an advantage because, as you may or may not know, I've probably brought this up about 2 years ago. I have played that with Johnny Marr.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I know you don't like me mentioning other podcasts, but on my Penguin podcast, I interviewed Johnny Marr when he brought out a biography. And at the end of it, he'd brought his guitar. And when I say his guitar, I mean the Fender Johnny Marr. I think it's a Fender Jaguar.
It's a Jaguar he liked, but he's had one made in his name, kind of thing.
Yeah, they've made a specific custom guitar called the Fender, the Fender Johnny Marr, which is like a Jaguar, so he played the riff. To be honest, I wouldn't have been able to do the riff, even though you just did it. And I played the chords.
Amazing.
Yes, do it. One, you're gonna nod. 2, 3, 4.
I got through it.
That was pretty good.
One of the best moments of my life, ladies and gentlemen.
That is... you've never told me that. That almost would be the first thing I'd tell anyone.
Okay, next one.
The next one is also quite complicated, but I'm going to try it. Are you ready?
Yeah. Across the Universe by the Beatles.
Oh, well done. I was trying to read your face then, and you looked like someone had just completely lost their way in a sense of direction.
I'll tell you why that was. Because is that the intro to Across the Universe?
Yeah, it's my attempt at the intro, yes.
Because it's actually the middle eight, isn't it? It's Jaguru Deva. And so that was what I was hearing in my head. And for a second, the reason I looked so lost is I thought, oh my God, this is a foreign song, right? This is a song, this is some French Indian song. What's he done?
All right, Grandad.
And then I realised it isn't. It's the the French bit. Is it French or is it Indian?
Well, it's not really French. It's sort of Indian. Yeah, yeah. It's totally Indian. Yeah, yeah.
It's not French at all.
It couldn't be further from French. It's Indian, and he wrote it. You know, when they were in Rikikesh in India and meditating Rishikesh. And all that. He went both places, I think.
I think Rikikesh was just a bloke he knew in Liverpool.
but of course, Across the Universe, which has been covered, I can't remember who by, not someone we would ever mention on this podcast.
No, I wouldn't mention him on this podcast.
No, but anyway, it's definitely been covered. It's also an interesting... I think that song is also an interesting thing about the creative process, because he was deeply, deeply unhappy with that song, John Lennon, and always said that he should have insisted. I always think this is a bit like when you make TV or any creative endeavour. He never liked listening to it, because in his mind he wanted the sound of chanting, you know, monks, Buddhist monks chanting. He wanted 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And understandably, the George Martin said, well, maybe we'll just use a Mellotron or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said he should have insisted on it.
A funnier thing, if I could be so bold, than your story about John Lennon and George Martin.
Yeah.
Is I have to say, I think Morwenna claims that this was her who did this. So I'm going to just throw that out there in case it wasn't me. Right. I think it was me who did this, right? I was just thinking about the fact that I said that thing about how Ricky Keshe was a friend of John Lennon's.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, I went to buy a car once. Morwenna was with me, which is why there's some argument about the provenance of the joke. And this actually did happen. Either way, whoever came up with the joke, it actually did happen. I'm going to say it was me for the clear of this story. The guy who owned the car was called Rick. His name was Rick, right?
Right.
And we were just looking at his car, and I sort of sat down on the drive. He had a little sort of bit raised up by his drive where you could sit down. I was looking at the car, and he and Rick sat one side of me, this guy Rick, then me. And then a mate of his appeared walking down the drive. He went, oh, hello, Amadeus. That was the name of his mate. Amadeus came and sat, this is completely true, came and sat next to me. So I'm in the middle. And I was able then to say, hey, Rick, me, Amadeus.
That's fantastic.
I seem to remember he got nothing. Like, neither of them understood what the reference was. But man called Rick was on one side of me and a man called Amadeus was on the other side of me. And I was able to say, Rick, me, Amadeus. I can see we're getting nothing, by the way, from Bella for this. It's a reference to a song by a band called Falco in about 1989. I mean, it seems to be amazing that a man called Rick with a mate called Amadeus someone's never said, hey, Rick, me, Amadeus. No one's ever said that to him.
Well, maybe that's all they heard. Maybe it's the other way around.
Or maybe they just thought, why is he saying our names? Why? What is this, a roll call? What's going on?
Yeah, if you're in their world and you don't get the reference...
Yeah, it's a really weird thing to do.
It's really odd. So if me, you and Bella sat in an Uber together and I just said, David, me and Bella.
Yeah. it'd be like, suddenly, what are we, in a children's programme?
And I think it's sufficiently on the edge of disturbing for you not to want to pick it up at all when I've said it. David, me and Bella.
Yes.
You'd sort of think, I'm just going to leave that.
I'm going to leave that because Tim's gone a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so happy to be with us, he's having to say that what's happening. And his way of saying what's happening is just very, very bald.
Yeah, maybe he's going to keep doing that now, and he's just going to say what he's seeing all the time. And he said, I had a similar thing. I worked, when I was about 21, I worked at the National Consumer Council. It was a sort of consumer rights thing. And I worked, this is when I left university, I worked in the bit that looked after... did stuff about food policy and the common agricultural policy and these sorts of things. And I was a researcher.
I'm really hoping this goes somewhere more interesting, but we'll leave it.
That's actually it. That's the story.
That's a corker.
But make sure you say I said that. Don't say anyone else said it.
Yeah, no, I think Morwenna said it.
Morwenna's going to close. I'm not having that.
Yeah.
And I'd phone the main numbers in Whitehall often for the department I'd need. So, I would often ring the Ministry of Agriculture because I'm asking them about food policy. And I rang the numbers, and I guess all the departments are similar. So I dial the Ministry of Agriculture and it goes through, and a woman answers and says, Ministry of Defence.
Oh.
Right. And I said, oh, sorry, is that? And she said, yeah, Ministry of Defence. And I said, on my own in the office, no one to hear it, oh, guns, not butter.
Oh.
And I remember being genuinely impressed with myself for saying that.
Yeah.
And she said, probably what she said is, Ministry of Defence again. she definitely didn't pick up on the quote.
So guns, not butter, got nothing.
Guns, not butter, I got nothing. And what I actually thought was, I felt pleased that I'd reacted quickly. I didn't sort of phone her back and say, guns, not butter. It happened in the moment.
Right.
I also thought, for good or for bad, and probably for good, I'll never, ever get the chance to do that again.
No, it is a moment. I mean, like, that does relate, really, a long time afterwards to Rick me Amadeus, in that, a very specific set of circumstances had fallen into place for you to make that reference. Are there any more songs, or should we stop here?
Well, there's loads, but we don't necessarily need to do any more. No. You've got 100% record.
Thank you.
Three out of three.
It was 3 out of 3. I think I should stop while I'm ahead, personally.
Yeah,
I'm slightly worried that the Stalking Time for the Moon Boy is becoming just a sort of pub quiz. Is like not what we want for it.
Well, I think it's, I guess the point is, it will be when people look back at the archive
of this time.
Of our podcast, because our podcast will tell, you know, the story of our relationship, but also in a way the story of Britain.
Yeah.
And I think that there'll be times they look at it, and one thing they'll look at is, yeah, of course they mentioned quizzes, and they even did a little pub quiz because everyone was doing that during COVID.
Yes.
That's why I think it's important we did that.
That's true. So basically all of Britain's present history is here. We're doing it.
I've never felt the need to say that, but yeah, obviously.
Guns not butter.
Can I just finish by... Well, yes. Not this is a big flourish, but just saying, you and I, as you know, went on a walk yesterday.
Oh, God, I was going to talk about that. I forgot to mention that.
So me and Tim went for a walk yesterday. This may be what you were going to bring up anyway. And a rather marvellous thing happened, which was his dog, Ace, a Boston Terrier, as soon as we got on to Hampstead Heath, did a shit. Now, that's fair enough. It's a dog. They do that. Yeah. And Tim, like a good dog owner, put it in a little plastic bag. But presently, on Hampstead Heath, or so we thought, and I told you this, there are no dog waste bins, which meant that Tim, unfortunately, had to carry a piece of shit with him over quite a long part of the walk, and then put it in your pocket. We had quite a long conversation, didn't we, about shall I put this in my pocket? Yeah. And then the slight weirdness of you being a man walking around with a piece of shit in your pocket.
It's exactly what I was going to bring up, because, I mean, we had a lovely walk, we discussed all sorts of things, but when I think about it, I think about the poo incident.
Yes.
And as you say, we saw a sign saying there are no waste bins, so it wasn't just you. I mean, you were right in the sign. And when we found the bin, because there was a bin...
that was an amazing moment.
God, when I put that bag in the bin, it was like having a poo yourself. It was so... I felt so good about depositing it in the bin.
Yeah, and what's weird about that, now you can't imagine, because I remember you saying that's like having a poo myself, is that I had instantly thought, I could really understand that, you know, because you were carrying around some poo and it was a relief. But it was also quite a disturbing image, because when you put the poo in the waste bin, right, which involves seeing the poo for a second and then it disappearing into a hole, it made me think, I have seen Tim's anus.
How does that follow?
Well, because, well, not only have I seen your anus, but if you follow it through, as it were, your anus is like a big, you know, like metal thing that goes, flips down and the poo disappears beneath it. And what I mean is that when you said, it feels like I've done a poo myself, I then connected you doing a poo with the sight of that little black poo going away, going down into the bin.
I see.
And you do see it. You do see it go like a poo.
Yeah.
Slide down just for a second, don't you? And then it disappears into, as it were, the toilet. The
I
toilet
see what you mean.
You know what I mean? I suddenly couldn't help myself. But imagine let's call it your bottom rather than your anus, because it's slightly less disturbing.
Yeah.
I imagined your bottom was like that waste bin. And in a way, it is. All our bottoms are waste bins.
Right, but in another way, it absolutely massively isn't anything like it at all. It being made out of metal and wood and being...
having a little picture of a dog on it.
Having it being used by lots of people.
we don't know about that.
People passing by on Hampstead Heath.
Who knows if your bottom is in any way like that. Anyway, I think we should stop there. That's very funny.
We've gone from the big science questions to the
bigger science questions.
Perhaps.
Yeah. All right then. I will see you next week, is it, or whatever. Thank you very much.
What a laugh.
Thank you, listeners. And goodbye.
Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.